We're going to talk this morning. Last time that I taught, it was a couple weeks ago, and I felt like, you know, the Lord leading me to kind of stay in that same vein, and hope you don't mind that this morning. But we talked about the eyes of the heart, and God opening our eyes and of understanding. That we have a calling on our lives, that there's an expectancy of us. And so I'm gonna tackle that again this morning. Just the second part of that text. We'll be again reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And you can turn there. I'll get there in just a moment. But I want to talk to you this morning from this topic, the immeasurable greatness of His power. The immeasurable greatness of His power. Your Bible might read it, the exceeding greatness of His power. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning. I know that it's not Memorial Day weekend or Independence Day or any other holiday honoring our military or our country, but I stand here this morning and just about every morning thankful that I am a citizen of the United States of America. Amen. I'm thankful to be a part of what I consider to be the greatest country on the face of the planet. And I know we have our flaws and we have our shortcomings, but there is no other place in the world that I would rather be a part of than right here in the USA. And I have a feeling that nearly probably 100% of all of us, if we were completely honest, we would say that same thing. And one thing that makes us such a great country is that we are a nation of law and order. Law and order. And this is something that we should be thankful for. I know we're probably not thankful for it when those state troopers who are hiding out in the bushes, you know how they do, and they jump out behind you and they have blueberries and cherries on and they pull you over. We're not thankful for law and order at that point in time. Amen. But that's what makes us a great country. That's what makes us a great nation is our law and our order. And I looked up some laws in our country, that still exist today. And I have to admit, some of them kind of made me scratch my head a little. For instance, in Vermont, women must obtain written permission from their husbands to wear false teeth. This is law. Don't argue. In South Dakota, it is illegal to sleep in a cheese factory. Could you imagine that guy coming home and having a, you know, that ticket from a, you know, the trooper's mom's like, what did you do? He's like, well, I was at the cheese factory and I was working and I got tired and I dozed off and they wrote me a ticket. And in South Dakota, in North Dakota, it is illegal to lie down and fall asleep with your shoes on. In New Jersey, it is illegal for a man to knit during fishing season. But outside of fishing season, he can knit. In Maine, it is illegal to keep Christmas decorations up past January 14th. Amen. Come on now. In Iowa, one-armed piano players must, by law, perform for free. If they're one-armed, you cannot pay them. And in Georgia, it is illegal to keep an ice cream cone in your back pocket on Sundays. Just on Sundays. So for those of you that will be traveling for the remainder of the year, please know the law. And we must abide by the law. Why? Because we are a country of law and order. Amen. Let me ask you this morning. If you could make up a new law, what would it be? Just think to yourselves, what law would you love to make up and put it into existence, and we all have to live by it. We all have to govern our lives by that law. I was thinking about this in my office last night, and the only thing that come to me as a parent of two young boys is I think I'd like to make it a state law that my son's toy room is cleaned up every day before he goes to sleep. State law. Because he respects the police officers, and I have a feeling if I told him he was going to get arrested or put in jail because his toy room wasn't clean, I think it would be spotless and we'd be able to see the carpet again. I'd also like to make it state law that my wife knows what she wants when we go through a drive-thru within 3 minutes. Oh no, she's in here this morning. Just 3 minutes. Is that too much to ask for? Some of our biggest arguments come from going through Dairy Queen drive-thru. I'm sure we could all think of something that would be cool to make up as a law. But in all seriousness, it would not matter. Because there is one thing you need in order to do that. There is one thing that you need in order to make a law, and that is authority. That is power. Absolutely, if we just decided to make our own law, it would be useless because we have no authority. We have no power. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is our ultimate authority and the ultimate power. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, the Bible says this, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Amen. Again, I already said it earlier. Last time we spoke about the calling that is on our lives and that God still wants to use us. Amen. He still has great expectations for us because he has always created a culture of great expectation for his people. Scripture says, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know. Everybody say no. No. Amen. When it comes to the things of God, a lot of times we may know the truth, but we don't always feel it. We may know that God has a plan for our life, but we don't always feel like he does. And we may easily get in a situation where we trade in the great things that God has for us in the long run for small things in the here and now. And that's something that happened to Esau in Genesis chapter 25 when he traded his birthright for a bowl of beans. That is why it is so important that we pray that God will open the eyes of our heart to see that God has a plan for us and that we won't just talk about it, but we will live like it and prepare our hearts for it. Amen. No matter how old you are or how young you are, I believe God still has expectations for your life. He still wants to use you in these last days in great ways. In great ways, but you have to have your eyes open in order to see that. Our text this morning goes on to talk about how God has a glorious inheritance for those that have made a commitment to be a part of the church and walk in relationship with God and the people of God. You see, God is all about relationships. I don't know if you know that yet, but if you read your Bible, you know that God is all about relationships. Jesus said in Luke 19 that his purpose was to come and to seek and to save the lost. Listen to me. If we are going to be called Christians, then that has to be our goal. But the awesome thing is that God doesn't just want us to focus on the relationships with those people that are far and away from God. He also wants to focus on relationships with the people of God. Amen. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The scripture passage shows us that we first must connect to God. But as we connect to God, we must reach out and connect to the church. We have to connect to the body. And that is just awesomeness wrapped up in a warm blanket. Amen. There is such safety when you decide to become a part of a church that will stir one another up to love and good deeds. A church that will serve one another selflessly and pray for one another and share in the joys and bear each other's burdens. Amen. And humbly and gently confront one another Amen. There is such safety in that. There is such power in that. It is the glorious inheritance of the saints. You would think that if we had both of these parts down, we understand God has called us and we have answered the call. We are ready to fulfill that expectation that He has for us. You would think that we got that down and then our relationship with Him is good, that our relationship with the church family is good and we're encouraging one another and we're praying for one another and we're lifting up one another up and we're rejoicing together. You would think that if you had those two things down, that we would be ready to go and do whatever God has called us to do. But the awesome part is that is just the beginning. We still haven't even got to the best part yet. Amen. Again, your scripture reading, Ephesians 1, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? And if you jump down to verse 22, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. The best part about all of this is that the one who has expectations for your life, the one who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, He is the one and only one in the entire universe that actually has authority over everything in the entire universe. The one who has called you is the one who has all power. The one that is calling you right now has all authority. The one that is trying to send you into that dark world has all power and has all authority. Amen. Paul said the greatness of His power is immeasurable toward us who believe. Acts chapter 1 says, and you shall have power. Everybody say power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you have the Holy Ghost this morning, my friend, you have power. Amen. You have authority. You have an ability to stand out and stand up for truth in a dark world that rejects the truth. You have power this morning. Amen. Can you see why Paul prayed that our hearts would be opened, that the eyes of our hearts would see the heart of the matter? Can you understand why he prayed this? What is amazing to me is that we talk a lot about how awesome God is. We sing about it. Our God is an awesome God. We sing the songs and we sing the lyrics and we know them well. And we testify about it and we preach it to our neighbors. But sometimes we question whether or not God can really use us. We question, we think, God can't use me. God, He's awesome. He's mighty. He's powerful. But He can't use me. He can't. I'm a nobody. I'm just your average Joe. I love God. He's great. He's awesome. But He can't use me. It's amazing to me that we think about how awesome and powerful God is. And yet we feel like that awesome and power, that none of that relates to us, that God can't use us. I think about Moses, Exodus 4, 10 through 12. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, watch this, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." You see, it is easy and natural to forget that we are serving God, that we are serving the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings. It's natural and easy for us to forget that. Why? Because people in the Bible did it. And God called them and used them anyway. When God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, He asked him to go speak to the most powerful ruler in all the earth at that time. Now think about this. Picture this with me. God appeared in the middle of a wilderness in a burning bush. Okay? A bush on fire talks to Moses. A bush on fire speaks to him. God also gives Moses signs like his walking stick turning into a snake and his hand sort of withering away and then, you know, coming back, you know, and all of this stuff and being healed. And after all that, Moses said, but dude, I stutter. You're calling me. I stutter. After seeing all this and witnessing God's power. Now, before we throw stones at Moses, we need to realize that we do the same thing. We see what God has done in the life of people who follow him. We know how God has filled us with the Holy Ghost and we have felt his power in prayer. And some of us can even tell how God has healed us of some diseases. And he says, hey, I need you to teach a Bible study. Hey, I need you to witness to your coworker. To which we replied, no, not me, God. Not me. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. I'm nothing. I'm just, and we think, dumb, right? Yeah. Why? Because he is all powerful. He has all authority. Is it not I, the Lord, that made your mouth to speak? Is it not I, the Lord, that has given you this power and authority? And yet we think, Moses, how could you question God? How could you question God? Why would you not step out in faith? What is so awesome is that when Moses did obey and he led the children out of Israel, out of the Egyptian slavery, God did a mighty act that relates to us today. We have all heard the story of the Red Sea and the Israelites crossing over on dry ground. But if you dig deep, you can really find something really powerful in this passage of scripture. You see, when Moses told the people that God would deliver them, he said it this way, Exodus 14 and 13. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Would you say that word see? See. You shall never see again. Well, we know that was because they were all drowned in the Red Sea, right? You're like, nothing magical there, Bryce. I feel you. But like I said, let's dig a little bit deeper. First off, when Moses said the word see, it meant more to the Israelites. In their language, when they used the word see, it also meant to be afraid. It really makes sense when you think about it. When you see something that is scary, you're afraid, right? And you're like, okay, so I'm not impressed still. Not impressed. They didn't have to be afraid of guys who were going to be at the bottom of the sea, right? Yeah. Okay. Still not impressed. No magic here. Here's the cool part. When you do a word study, you also look at where else in the Bible was the same word used. And one place is in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says this, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never fear evil. That second to last word is the same word that Moses used talking about the Egyptians that were going to be at the bottom of the sea. God said that we could rejoice and sing and get excited because we didn't have to see or fear evil again. Why? Because he has taken it all away. He has taken away the judgments against us and he is in our midst. Friends, that is an Old Testament prophecy about the plan of salvation. When our judgments have been washed away in baptism and the King is now in our midst because we have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to be full of fear anymore. Why? Because the King has dominion. You have now crossed the bloodline by waters of baptism. You shall never again fear evil. You have now crossed the bloodline. Anybody ever heard of jurisdiction? Yeah, you've heard of jurisdiction, Brother Hogan. Jurisdiction, it's a neat little thing. Remember, we are a country of law and order. jurisdiction is pretty amazing. We live in Randolph County. Amen. The next county over is Perry County. Let's say I'm driving like Brother Price. I'm tearing down the road, just pedal to the metal. I've got it floored. I'm passing everybody. I'm passing on the right side of the road. I've got to get to where I'm going. I'm tearing down the road. And all of a sudden, remember how the state troopers do? They're hiding out in the bushes, or just local cops. Okay, we're local cops here. State troopers, this doesn't apply to them. But local cops, Sparta cop, Randolph County cop, pulls out behind Brother Price. And he turns on them lights and he starts to follow him. Brother Price is like, he just goes a little bit faster. Remember, driving like him. So we're driving down the road and all of a sudden the cop pulls behind us. Now, we're getting ready to cross over into Perry County, right? Once we get to the Perry County line, that Randolph County cop, he's got to get on his little radio and he's got a 10-4 Boss Hog over in Perry County and he's got to say, hey, I've got this man here who's doing about 100 in a 50 and I need some help here. I've got to get over here. Why does he do that? Because beyond that line, he has no jurisdiction. He has no power. He has no authority. He has to cross over and get some help from somebody else. Do you know what happens in the spirit world when you are baptized in Jesus' name? You cross a bloodline. And when you cross the bloodline, you are now out of the devil's jurisdiction. Amen. The Bible says it this way, that we pass from death unto life. We pass from darkness unto light. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I am now out of the devil's jurisdiction. Oh, would you clap your hands unto the Lord this morning? He no longer has power to pursue you, to detain you, to imprison you. He no longer has that authority. Why? Because I'm now under the jurisdiction of a new king. I'm a part of a new country, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has all power and he has all authority. Amen. I'm not under the devil's jurisdiction anymore. I've crossed under the bloodline. I've got the blood covering my life. The devil doesn't have power over me. He can't do anything to me. He can't touch me. He can't hurt me. Why? Because Jesus is my king. He's my king, and he has all authority over everything. Amen. Aren't you thankful to be baptized in Jesus' name this morning? If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, we've got a baptismal tank. Won't take nothing to fill up. It might be a little bit cold, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your life, there's nothing like it, friend. There's nothing like it. I think one of the problems that we don't realize sometimes is that everything, would you say everything? Everything is under God's control. Everything. I think one problem that we have as human beings is that we don't fully understand that everything's under his control. Our minds are geared to the fact that if we're not in control, then that's a bad thing. If we're not driving, then we're in trouble. Amen. In the book of Daniel, we find a pretty cool conversation that Daniel has with an angel. Daniel 10 and 18 and 21 says, again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, oh man, greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And he spoke to me and I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out behind, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against thee except Michael, your prince. Daniel was praying for 3 weeks before the angel came to him. And the angel says, I would have been here sooner except I was fighting a demon, the prince of Persia. But here is the great part, a cool part. And after the angel tells Daniel, I've got to go because the prince of Greece, another demon, is going to come and fight us as well. Amen. The angel knew what was going to happen. The angel knew the enemy's plan. I'm telling you today that the enemy cannot do anything without God knowing about it and letting it happen in our lives. Amen. They don't have authority. They don't have power. They've got to run everything by the king. everything. I mean, we all know the story of Job, right? We know that story. The devil had to ask God before he could even touch the things that belonged to Job. And God even gave him limits. Then the devil comes back to God and says, okay, he said, you can go this far, but no farther. You can do this, but not this. You can't go past this. There is no power on earth, amen, but God's. And the power that he allows things to happen. If you're going through hell on earth, friends, understand this. God knows about it, and he knew what was going to happen even before it happened. He knows the end from the beginning. Why? Because he has all power. He has all authority. The immeasurable greatness of his power. He has all of it. He has all of it. Sometimes we go through something and we say, God, I don't understand. I don't get it. So maybe sometimes it's not for us to understand, and we don't have to know everything. But again, that goes back to how we're geared, how we're hardwired. We feel like we've got to control everything, but understand this. Everything is under God's control. There is nothing surprising him. There is no sickness that surprises him. There is no lost loved one that surprises him. He is fully aware of everything all at once at the same time. He knows exactly what's going on. I'm just trying to press into your mind this morning that he has all power, that he has all authority. Amen. He has all dominion, and God makes no mistakes.
Praise the Lord.
No mistakes. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When we talk about God during doing big things, we almost can't ignore David. This guy made some really big mistakes, but that was okay because God still used him, and God still called him a man after his own heart. Probably the most popular story of all time is David and Goliath. We won't go over it all. You know the story well. But there is something interesting when you read in 1 Samuel 17, we see that David's first response was this. First response, who is this guy who has no relationship with God? Who is this man who has no relationship with God and thinks that he can defy God? David knew that God had made a covenant with his chosen people. Amen. Genesis 17, God told Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. David knew that God had made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham had made a promise to God. That was a promise that God had kept since that time. And while Abraham and his children had made many mistakes, David knew that he had tried to follow his part of the deal. But more importantly, he knew that God was going to follow his part of the deal. David knew, I'm in covenant with God. I'm in relationship with God. And this giant must fall. You know what that means when I'm in relationship with God? That means I win. Plain and simple, cut and dry. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. If I'm in covenant with God and I'm holding up my part of the deal, that giant will fall. Why? Because the one who was with David, the one who had called David, had all authority, had all power, had all might, had everything that David needed to fight the battle. The book of Matthew, we read in closing this morning, what is called by many people the Great Commission. Just before Jesus' glorified body was going to be raised into heaven, he told his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now we know that Jesus commanded this. We know that when he commanded it, he wanted them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not names, they are titles. Jesus is a name, and it is the only name that saves, says your Bible, Acts chapter 4. But before we get all wrapped up in that, I want you to think about how serious this was. Jesus had just spent a few years with these men. And while he sent them out one time on a short mission, they hadn't really been away for far too long. And right now, Jesus was telling them to do something huge. Not only did they need to go to all nations, they also needed to make disciples. Well, hopefully you're getting the idea by now. Huge tasks really don't matter when you are called and anointed by the only God. And the beautiful thing is that the scripture actually reminds us of that if we read it all. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he gifts wrap it with this promise. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Before Jesus commanded them to do this impossible, almost impossible task, he reminded them, all authority has been given to me. I say what goes, period. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm coming with you. I'll be with you. And we know that Jesus kept his promise of being with us when he poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he's still doing that today. He is with us and he is enough. It's one of my favorite promises in the Bible. Lo, I am with you always. On my good days, he's with me. On my bad days, he's with me. When I step out in faith, he's with me. When you witness to a coworker, he's with you. Yes. When you stand for truth and righteousness, he's with you. Yes. When you get the report from the doctor, he's with you. Yes. When you get the phone call that you didn't want, he's with you. Yes. He said, I am always with you to the end of the age. Church, it's time to stop being fearful. It's time to stop being afraid to step out and do something for God and allow God to use you. Amen. Why? Perfect love has cast out all fear. We have the Spirit of God Almighty that is going with us into the battle, into every situation, into every circumstance. We don't have to be fearful to step out and do something for God, because God is wanting to do something through your life and my life and through this church. God wants to use you. He's got great expectation for your life. He's got a ministry for you. And you don't have to be fearful about it, because he comes with the deal. Oh, that the eyes of our heart would see. God's calling us. We are surrounded by a great body of believers this morning. We're here to encourage one another. Amen. We are here to consider it, Bible says, to think about it, how ways we can stir up one another, how we could provoke one another toward good deeds and love. The greatness of his power toward us who believe is immeasurable. He's put all things under his feet. It's not our power that we're relying on. It's not our authority. It's him. It's him. Would you close your eyes this morning? Would you lift your voices as we close in prayer today?